So they did the now classic or famous randomized trial that led to the approval of the drug, which was simply taking people between 60 and 75 who had newly diagnosed AML, but who had to have one of several things. They either had to have therapy for another cancer and now have AML. They had to have MDS before they got the AML. Well, they need to have chromosomal abnormalities or other features that suggested they probably had MDS before their AML, even if they didn't have an actual clinical MDS prodrome. And in that study that was published by Jeff Lancet in the JCO, there was a survival benefit for those subgroups of patients who were exposed to CPX351 compared to 3 and 7. And some people scoffed. I thought it was a major advance. I don't think CPX351 is ever going to be worse than 3 and 7. They wouldn't use it outside of the approved indication, which is really any age patient with secondary AML, defined as I mentioned. It does cause slightly prolonged myelosuppression. It doesn't seem to cause any more cardiovascular toxicity. And it certainly doesn't cause as much mucositis. And it certainly doesn't cause hair loss. So outside of the expense, it's, you know, patients tend to like it. They don't know what 3 and 7 is like, but I'm telling you, it's a little bit easier to take than 3 and 7. The important ancillary piece of data that was presented at this ASH meeting surrounding that trial was finally the outcome according to the genetic profile of diagnosis or an onset of therapy. It was presented by my colleague Coleman Lindsley. It turns out that CPX351 was always a little bit in each of the subgroups, like DNMT3A or NPM1, was always better than 3 and 7. It was never worse. In the case of the really adverse, the TP53 patients, it was about the same. So unfortunately, it's not an advance over 3 and 7 for therapeutic efficacy in the worst group of patients, but it's no worse. So that's why I think the study wasn't really powered to see a benefit in each of the other subgroups. But again, there was a trend in favor of it. So I think it certainly justifies using it for the people within the indication. And maybe there will be other trials looking at it as a more generic replacement for 3 and 7 in more typical clinical situations.
You said that you think it's better tolerated than 7 plus 3. From your point of view, though, in terms of eligibility, is it generally the same for 7 plus 3, or maybe you would allow less fit patients to receive it?
No, I wouldn't yet, because it does cause prolonged myelosuppression, and you can still get pretty sick when your counts are low. You do get a touch of mucositis, so it can be, you can get sick. So I think I would not recommend it outside the fit patient who could get 3 and 7. There are clinical trials looking at lower doses in less fit patients, and of course, looking at combining it at the usual dose with all your favorite things like venetoclax.